Emerald Podcast Series. Research that makes a difference.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Tor, and welcome to the Emerald Podcast Series. Today, we're tackling a critical issue, our broken food systems. Despite living in a world of abundance, over 9% of the global population still faces hunger. With the UN estimating that 2 billion people lack regular access to safe, nutritious food, it's clear that something isn't working. To help us understand where our food systems are failing and what can be done, I'm joined by Professor Seema Hamada, a leading researcher in public health nutrition, sustainability and food systems, and editor-in-chief of Global Smart Food Systems, a new Emerald open access journal. Together, we'll explore the key challenges facing our food systems, the role of technology, food literacy and research in driving change, and what the future might hold for a more sustainable, equitable food landscape. Let's dive in.
Hello, Rebecca, once again, and thank you for having me. By definition, food systems encompass all the process, activities, and actors involved in producing, processing, distributing, consuming, and disposing of types of foods and beverages. And by that, we mean that the food system will include everything from agricultural production, supply chain, to enabling food policies, environment, to consumer behavior, waste management, and cultural norm around food. So indeed, food systems are interconnected with many factors like environmental, social, economic, and health factor, shaping how food is assessed and its impact on people and the planet. To be frank, the concept of food system is not new at all. But however, in recent years, it has regained prominence among many key stakeholders, scholars, policymakers. And the question is why, probably. It's because they shape and they are shaped, as I mentioned before, by other systems such as political, economic, sociocultural, and health system. Indeed, the new interest in food system is the result of various concerns. The political power, trade, economy, equity, sustainable environmental matters, dietary and health issues, and so on. And why they are important? As I mentioned before, because they cover many things and they have an impact on food security, on our nutrition issues related to health, environmental sustainability, economic and social equity, public health matters, resilience against crisis. And here, for example, the COVID pandemic, the pandemic that we lived a few years ago, the climate change, other conflicts that highlight the need to adapt for more resilient food systems.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I think that's really helpful just to get an idea of what we mean when we say food systems. Because it seems like, you know, we're in the 21st century, yet our world is still having this hunger issue and food security problem. And actually, it seems to be increasing. It's not actually being solved. The UN think that around 2 billion people globally are without regular access to safe, nutritious and sufficient food, which is really worrying. And, you know, and I suppose that's why it is actually goal 2 of the UN Sustainable Development Goals to solve the problem of, you know, and zero hunger is obviously the focus. We want everyone to be able to eat and actually have access to food as they should be. And so I just wonder what happened to us? You know, how did we get into this mess? And sort of who is to blame? What's to blame? And, you know, how are these food systems, which, okay, it's very complex, but how are they failing us?
Yes, indeed. This is a very broad question, but yet very important. And probably to answer all these related questions to why our food system are failing us and why we still have hungers around the world, we have to strengthen the link between the narratives that exist and the realistic world. And by that, I mean to consider the socioeconomic and cultural context, if we're going to call it or name it sociologizable scales. So by carrying such a critical review to these narratives, to these stories, gray literature that exists everywhere, and the credible sources are in the whole media channel, it's important to understand this link to more, let's say, understand the global food insecurity and the hungriness that still exists that we face today, which is a result of many, many historical, economic, political, and environmental factors. So there is no single entity or event to blame, but a combination of systemic issues that had led to us to this point. For example, I'm going to list a few of them, like colonialization and exploitative agriculture system, like the corporate control and the market concentration. For instance, large-scale industrial agriculture prioritized the profit over food security, or favoring the cash crops over diverse and nutritious food. Also, we have the climate change and environmental degradation factor, the geopolitical conflict and trade policy, inequality and poverty, food waste and inefficiency. So by that, again and again, who's to blame? We don't have one sector or one person or one factor to blame, because it's a result from a system built on historical inequalities, corporate interests, policy failures, environmental mismanagement. However, solution exists, and a lot of association governments and different sectors, they are working toward that and shifting towards ecological practices to reduce, for example, the food waste, or to prioritize the local food system, or at least to ensure a fair trade policy that can help to rebuild more resilient food future.
I just wondered, you know, I know you can't obviously cover all of these problems and all of the people responsible, but I just wondered to give us a flavour of sort of, you know, what are the steps being taken, you know, sort of what can be done, what do we do to transform our food system, you know, sort of where do we start? Have we done much so far? Have we, obviously we're recognising there all these problems, but the drive to, you know, especially with the drive of, you know, zero hunger as one of our UN SDGs. I mean, I just wondered, you know, what is it that can be done and where do we sort of start really?
First of all, to take an integrated food system approach. And by that, I mean to align agricultural production, trade, manufacturing, retailing, and consumption priorities at all levels. To initiate a multi-sectoral forum and also a multi-stakeholder scenario to the development process. To take also efficient actions in setting food systems on a trajectory towards healthy and sustainable development. To develop strategies and policies to handle trade-off of change, also to guide the food system transformation all the way to arrive to what we aim to be in the future, and to evaluate food system in their context and in the global context. And again, here I want to mention we should think to adapt the global approach. We have to work our local context, but by thinking globally. So it's not like something easy probably to do. We need this gap between the current and the desired food system is substantial enough to require a major transformative changes. For example, the poor food diet are the leading risk factor for poor health globally. Also, food system are the main contributor of other environmental problems. And here we talk about greenhouse gas emission, the loss of water, fresh water use, etc. And also the food production that drives air and water pollution, also land degradation, deforestation, biodiversity loss. So it is something, as you said, very complex, but we can make such change to make them more nutritious, or let's say nutrition sensitive, sustainable to address the triple burden of malnutrition. And the triple burden is the under, over, and micronutrient deficiency that are related also to health and environmental problems. So it's not easy to do that, but we can do something about it. Like for instance, shift towards regenerative and climate resilient agriculture, build equitable food system, promote healthy and sustainable diet, reduce food waste, and strengthen the circular economy. Invest in policy and governance for food system transformation. Leverage science, innovation, and technology, and other things also to include the community work.
Thank you. I mean, I think that gives us a really excellent overview of the ways that we can tackle this huge problem. And I mean, we obviously don't have long to go into every single sort of aspect of this, but it would be really great if we can drill down into some of the solutions, some of the ways that we can at least tackle this huge problem. And so you mentioned innovation and smart technology and what role that could play in improving our food system. So I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that. And obviously, you know, we're all talking about artificial intelligence. And I just wondered, does that have a role in improving the food systems? And also augmented reality. I mean, that's being applied to lots of different areas of science at the moment. And just sort of visualization techniques. And how, I wonder if that has a role too. So perhaps you could sort of just sort of drill down into that and sort of that as a way of us tackling this huge issue. Thank you.
We work food system as part of the private sector that depends on the market demand, which is now like driven by the AI and the smart technology. But at the same time, it required the leadership role of the public sector in designing and implementing policy that bridged the gap between the sociocultural goals, the culture nowadays, the market demand and trends. And also here we have the role of the NGOs and the civic sectors. So they are all, you know, we have drivers like external, internal, and AI, and the smart technology was added lately to these types of all types of drivers that are emerge from different sectors to make more and more such food system more dynamic behavioral system where stakeholders are engaged and responding differently to opportunities, risk, challenges, constraints that they are imposed either by the socioeconomical components but also by the technology, the ethical part of technology and other political components. So it's really crucial to differentiate between stakeholders in the industrial food system and in the local food system because, you know, technology, it's more on industrial profit and the local food system is more about equity, health and access to healthy food. So if we come back to the AI and how they can affect our system. Indeed, they affect big time our system. I'm going to give you examples related to AI alone, AR alone, just to make it more easy for the audience. But both of them, even the metaverse, can significantly enhance the food system by acting on the whole food chain, as I mentioned before, from farm to fork, by improving efficiency, reducing waste, increasing transparency, supporting sustainable practice, and so on. For instance, the AI in food system can help to work the precision agriculture or sustainable farming. And by doing that, they optimize, for example, irrigation, fertilizer use based on real-time data. So it will decrease the risk of having these crops that are unhealthy. And we have all the time, we detect crop disease and pests early, reducing pesticide dependence. For example, as well, AI-driven drones can monitor the crop health and suggest targeted intervention, reducing input of waste and many other examples to give. Also, they can optimize the food supply chain by reducing inefficiency and food loss in the supply chain, enhancing, for example, demand forecasting to prevent overproduction and shortage of food, or tracking food freshnesses and quality using smart sensors. Also, AI can help to work the food innovation or food tech innovation, and like the 3D food printing or vitamins as well, and supplementation, where it helps the personalized nutrition for each person based on their family history, their health, their situation. Also, they can provide us with alternative of food that mimic the initial product more accurately and improving consumer acceptance to such healthier food. Also, AI can reduce food waste by, for example, automating the expiration date tracking in grocery stores and homes. Also, by the application, the AI-driven application that connect restaurants with excess food, for example, to charities, to reducing landfill waste, etc. Also, they can help in the food safety issues and enhance food traceability. For example, by detecting contaminants and fraud in food product using AI analysis, scanners, etc. So these are few examples how AI can help in the whole food chain. Also, AR has a lot other applications, like for consumer engagement and increased food education among consumer. By using the AR application, we can help consumers to make informed choices, for instance, by providing interactive nutrition labels when scanning food packaging, or, for example, showing carbon footprint and sourcing information in real time so they know this product is good for the environment or not, or by enhancing food literacy through immersive educational experience, and so on. And it shows it has an impact also from farm to fork in all these steps of the food chain. Also, it helps as the same examples of AI in precision agriculture for smart retail and restaurant activities, like, for example, train food service worker using AR-assisted step-by-step guides. And to summarize that, indeed, the future of these smart technology, by combining them, we can transform food system by creating AI-driven personalized nutrition plans with AR food visualization, for instance.
Thank you so much. I mean, I think that gives us all hope, doesn't it, that actually these new technologies can really transform the way that we consume, the way we understand, the way we shop, and ultimately, you know, help us become healthy and live lives and in a better way when it comes to our relationship with food. And I think that's so interesting about, you know, sort of how it will help with sort of food safety and, you know, overconsumption and giving food waste, you know, to the right home. And I feel really excited about this. And you know, and I think you just slightly touched on food literacy and, you know, sort of how food literacy, I suppose, can play a role in changing our behaviours, because you sort of mentioned, you know, sort of how AI can play a role in that. So I'm guessing maybe food literacy and sort of, you know, AI and AR are sort of related as well. And so I just wondered, you know, to start answering that question, what do we mean by food literacy anyway? And sort of what can these sort of new technologies and food literacy in general do to help us change the way that we interact with food, the way we shop, the way that restaurants tackle food waste and various issues. So yeah, it'll be really interesting. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And the food literacy is a really powerful driver of behavioral change among consumers. No matter if we are using the technology or not, we have different channels to increase food literacy by different types of communication. So food literacy itself can lead to a healthier, more sustainable and ethical food choices. And it helps individuals to navigate the food system to make informed decisions, develop lifelong habits that benefit both the personal health and the environmental health as well. And by definition, it's food literacy is more than just knowing about food. It's about understanding, engaging with, and acting on food-related knowledge to improve individuals or community health, sustainability, and food security. And here there is a role to, of media, all types of communication, science journalism, that will help to cover a lot of points, for example, by enhancing knowledge and awareness, the basic knowledge of nutrition, of reading labels, of understanding how such type of food will affect our health, our society, our environment, also by building capacities, food skills, practical abilities to know the culinary skills, how to cook, what to use, how to decrease food waste, how to have a smart grocery shopping. And here the effect of food literacy is also very big. How to work on the critical thinking and decision making of consumers by evaluating more and more all the food marketing and media messages and the industry claims. How to understand food, social, environmental, and ethical impacts of our choices. Also to make this connection between culture and societal factors, to appreciate more and more the traditional and diverse food practices, our local food, to recognize the role of food in social justice and equity, and how to encourage family and community engagement around food and traditional food. So how it drives such behavioral change by having healthier eating habits, by making better dietary choices, by reducing food waste, by supporting sustainable and ethical food choices, by choosing local, seasonal, and sustainable food. And indeed, the more we use applications, it's easier now because consumers are all the time connected to their mobiles and to their to the internet. So it's easy to increase such knowledge. But the most important thing is to have the credible knowledge there. It needs to integrate, to be integrated more and more into the traditional way of learning, like into schools, into curriculums, into in the workplaces, in media and communication channels, in public health policy.
Thank you. I mean, I think it's really interesting how you've described food literacy. I mean, it has such a practical element to it. So it's not just information. I mean, this is how do we change our behaviours? How do we make the right choices? And how do we support change in systems as well? And I'd also like to sort of tap into your other expertise, which is your research work. And obviously, you're the editor-in-chief of Global Smart Food Systems, which is a new Emerald open access journal. And I was just wondering, because of your insight as an editor of that journal, how does research play a role in transforming our food systems? And in your opinion, what research is really needed now, and what research are you calling for in that journal in particular?
Yes, that's a really an interesting question. Actually, before being the editor-in-chief for this Gold Open Access Journal, an innovative way of thinking or covering issues and research about global smart food system, I was working on a lot of topics related to that. And the most important thing is to, as I mentioned before, to shift the paradigm of the way we are thinking. And it's not only about agricultural matter or food security matter. So research is really critical to transform our food system by providing the scientific evidence that also I mentioned before. We need credibility in all what we are mentioning, communicating. So by providing the scientific evidence, technological innovation, policy insights needed for more sustainable, equitable, and resilient global food system. As well, the research and the findings will help us to identify opportunities, challenges, and to evaluate interventions and guide more decision-making across different disciplines such as agriculture, nutrition, environmental health, climate matters, policy, and technology. So if we're going to say what are the types or how we work such research, we need to work on interdisciplinary, applied, and policy-driven studies in different areas. For instance, all types of studies or surveys or reports that are covering agroecology, sustainable farming, climate adaptation, regenerative agriculture, climate smart agriculture matters, food security, indeed, nutrition research. And here I'm talking more about nutrition economics. It's how the nutrition and the economics are interconnected together. Also about food marketing, the market need, the ultra-processed food, and how much they are affecting our food systems and our environment. Also about sustainable food innovation, as I mentioned before, alternative proteins. I'm not saying that we should shift from meat eater to plant-based eater, but if we can help in some cases, we need that. So we need to work on this plant-based diet more, or more on the edible insects, seaweed crops that will help in some countries, in some places, to fill the gap of protein deficiency. So indeed, research can drive a lot these food system to a better place. But if we can, in our journal, for example, we are the new thing is how to we link all these disciplines together, from technology to economy to fashion and the impact of fashion by using more water and how it's affecting also our food behavior and food consumption. And maybe this is a new concept for people, but they are very related together, the fashion industry and the food industry, the media, the communication, science, journalism, their impact on our food system and vice versa. Of course, we are covering all types of factors that affect the food chain that is not anymore linear, it's circular, and we need to work all these interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary approach to fill the gaps and to arrive to our goals to have a better local and global food system. They are, as we said before, complex. They change all the time. Drivers are different. It depends from the market. It depends from any trend. But we are trying our best to fulfill these, to be updated, to be innovative, and to fulfill all the needs.
Fantastic. Thank you. I mean, it's clearly a huge issue involving many disciplines. And I think it's quite fascinating how you mentioned fashion and food and the food industry are sort of connected. And I guess we need to head over to the journal to have a look and find out a bit more about that. So I think that's really interesting. And I think we are running out of time, so we will move on to our last question. And I guess we've sort of looked a little bit about the history and sort of what's happening now and new technologies and what they potentially can offer. I think looking forward, what would you see is next for our food systems? How do you think they will change over the next few years? Are you optimistic? Are you hopeful? You know, what do you think's next for us?
Well, I'm not going to say I'm very optimistic, because the goal nowadays of all the industry is their own personal profit, not the health of the people, not the environmental health, not the future of our planet. But at the same time, I don't want to be that much pessimistic. So I think if we understand very well and the impact of globalization, of these trends, and the fast evolution of many things, and if we can work all these key stakeholders, the new concept of food system, like AI and technology, like food intelligence, like food industrialization, food business and branding or marketing, the consumerism, that applied themselves new ways to work food system by applying innovative practices grounded on ecological approach on our needs. And here we are talking more behavioral economics and to work the regenerative food system, as well how to manage knowledge and exchange such knowledge in different ways in a professional and ethical way. I believe that we can encounter the dramatic shift in our food system that are driven by climate change and technological advancements, societal demands, or other evolving policies. Our aim is to be more sustainable, equitable, and resilient, to adapt rapidly to such a fast-changing world. Indeed, there's a lot of work to do. We have to make it more visual, the win-win situation for all sectors, how we can link it more and more to UN SDGs agenda that is, it's there. A lot of people are working towards that, but still there's a lot of work to should be done by using such integrated approach that I mentioned before. And by sharing responsibilities, by redefining governance, as I said, they are more shaped by the private sector, but we need the leadership of the public sector, and we need the civic sector to work more on the ground. Indeed, and we didn't mention this before, we need an intergenerational participation and communication, and here is the role of Generation Z that will help us to make or to save our planet and to make a healthier food system, because they are the future. And by 2030, they're going to be 34% of the whole population taking care of their parents and at the same time of their family, own families. They are students, workers, and consumers. So they have a big role to help us to transform our food system to be more nutritious, healthy, safety driven, productive, and efficient. Just to sum it up, maybe over the next few decades, indeed, food systems will become more integrated with technology, healthier, probably climate conscious, if we work all together towards such goal, with more focus on local and sustainable practice. I think the combination of consumer-driven behavior change, technological advancement, supportive policy, and sustainable practices will lead to have a more equitable and resilient food future.
That brings us to the end of today's discussion on our food systems. A huge thank you to our guest, Professor Seema Hamada, for sharing her insights. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we covered, check out Global Smart Food Systems, a new open access journal exploring innovations and policies shaping the future of our food. You can find more information and a transcript of the episode on our website. A final thanks goes to podcast producer Daniel Ridge and the studio This Is Distorted. This is Rebecca Tor signing off. See you next time.